Nowhere in the pages of history can one find a greater champion of justice. Return with us now to those thrilling days of yesteryear.
And I'll tell you something else, too, is I cannot stand sissies.
You're going to talk about wrestling, that's redneck talk.
Father used to use a four-letter word that was very shocking to people. And I'm going to use that four-letter word, but I'm not going to say it, and I'm going to spell it out to you people, and I guarantee you that it'll shock you. The word is spelled F-E-A-R. And that's exactly what Dusty Rhodes is going to have whenever he steps into the ring with me, because I realize that the man is a drugged man. He's drugged on his own ego. And whenever Dusty Rhodes thinks that he's so terrific, he thinks he's so spectacular, he thinks he has a great following, he thinks that Uvalde Slim is fooling somebody, it's not fooling anybody, not me. I'd like to say something else, too, about Ole Anderson's brother, Lars. Lars Anderson is dumb. He is ignorant. He does not show any respect for his family name, like the Funk family has respect for each other, and a brother's fight should be not in public. I have no respect for Lars Anderson, and I have no respect for that fat, no good, egg-sucking cockroach, Dusty Rhodes. None whatsoever.
Mr. Funk, let me ask you this. First of all, you are scheduled to wrestle against Uvalde Slim on the 19th at the Omni in Atlanta, not Dusty Rhodes.
Listen, he will not have a place to wrestle because he will be barred from wrestling as soon as that mask is taken off from him. And he can go back to Fat City, or wherever that he is from, because he doesn't impress me or any of the intelligent wrestling fans.
Hey, everybody. Welcome to the Carl Stern Classic Wrestling Audio Show here at figure4online.com, wrestlingobserver.com. I am Carl Stern. Appreciate all the feedback I got from the last couple of shows. I put up two shows last week and got tons of feedback, actually probably the most feedback I've ever got from a show. So I really appreciate that. I asked for questions to be sent in and got a ton of them, so I appreciate that. But now, after this series of shows I'm taping right now, I will have depleted the emails again, so please do send in a fresh set of questions. There are two places you can send them to. You should know the gig by now. It's carl@carlstern.com. That's Carl with the letter K, K-A-R-L, carl@carlstern.com. That, of course, means I have a website called carlstern.com, and you can check it out. It's also available for subscription on the Kindle. All these new wacky devices you can subscribe to it on. I'm seriously considering getting an iPad. I haven't talked myself into it yet. But we've talked about that before. I'm still haven't made up my mind. But anyway, the other place you can post questions is at the board at figure4online.com. Go to the forums, and the place you need to post them is not in the radio show section, which is, you would think would be the most obvious place. But I actually have my own subsection of the board called To the Back in the Day. And so go to the Back in the Day, and that's where we talk some classic wrestling. But there's also a thread on there called Questions for the Carl Stern Classic Wrestling Audio Show, and you can post them up there. We got some really great questions tonight. In fact, there's one particular email that I could probably do an entire show on. So that's tremendous. I love that. There's been some great stuff on Figure 4 Online lately, and I think I'm going to make this particular show here available for free. So if you're not a member of the figure4online.com website, wrestlingobserver.com, man, what are you doing? Because the number one newsletter in the history of wrestling, with all the insider news, Wrestling Observer, is not only on there, but you get back issues of it to read online, and it's worth the price you pay just for the Wrestling Observer newsletter and the Figure Four newsletter. But man, there's so much audio on there, and Brian and I believe it was Todd Martin had a great show with Jim Cornette the other day talking about Smoky Mountain Wrestling, and they're all the time having some great classic wrestling guests on there, and not only classic wrestling guests, but you know, so much current event stuff going on. But so anyway, the moral of the story, lots of good stuff. And so let's get into our questions, and we'll just jump right in. It's so hot right now. It's just ridiculously hot here. It's 1:30 in the morning. Of course, I'm a night owl, as everybody knows. I've worked night shift for 16 years, and so I don't even know what the daytime looks like. And it's 1:30 in the morning and just sweltering hot. So I've got my Kindle here. If it doesn't melt, we'll get through all the questions. The first one I have is from Peter, and he says, I want to ask about the very first card I went to, first wrestling card I went to. It was at the Ottawa Civic Center in the late 1980s. The opening match was, I think, the Barbarian with Bobby Heenan against Jimmy Snuka. Since the one thing I remember was Crush debuting with Demolition, even though he wasn't on TV yet. Can you tell me more about the card? And I love questions like this because it actually forces me to do some research, which I miss doing. I'm writing a book on Southern Pro Wrestling right now that I think if everything works out okay, and we're still a long way from getting this done. I haven't even finished writing the book yet, but Brian's going to be reading it over, and perhaps we're going to do some sort of publishing deal with Wrestling Observer and Figure4Online.com. Again, this is all in the embryonic stages of it, but I've really enjoyed kind of researching wrestling again. I got kind of bored with it for a while, but now digging back in, and stuff like this really really interests me because I've got to dig in. So I went to the flash drive I sell called the Stern Stick, which has all the wrestling results on there, and I kind of dug through there trying to find it, and it wasn't the first place I looked, but I did eventually find it on there. There's like tens of thousands of card results on there, so I did a Google desktop search with just a few keywords, but I think I finally found the one you were talking about. And you had mentioned in your email that it was in the late 1980s, but that I figured out that couldn't actually be the case because Crush didn't come into WWF at the time until the summer of 1990. And that's why I couldn't find any shows that matched up from Ottawa there. But I did find in June of 1990 the show I think you're talking about. And this was the WWF at Ottawa, Ontario at the Civic Center. It was on June 22nd, 1990. And the show was Hercules beating Akeem with a clothesline in a small package. Tugboat beat Dino Bravo. The Barbarian beat Jimmy Snuka, so that was probably the match you were thinking of there. Paul Roma beat Buddy Rose. Dusty Rhodes pinned Randy Savage. And the WWF Tag Team Champions Demolition defeated Bret Hart and Jim Neidhart. So that's the closest thing. That's one of the few Demolition appearances I found there in Canada. And that time's out about right because Crush hadn't yet. It appears the TV taping they did where Crush first came on TV come just a few weeks after this. So I'm thinking that must have been it. And another reason I'm thinking that might have been it is because Buddy Rose was on there. And of course, Crush, who was Brian Adams, late Brian Adams, was working Portland at the time. So it would make sense he and Buddy Rose would be up there together. In fact, it was probably likely that Buddy Rose brought Bryan Adams up there for his initial tryout, and so this was his, if this was in fact the first night of this, of his gimmick with Demolition, or one of the early ones, it would make sense for Buddy Rose to have been there. I think around the same time I saw a variation of this similar card in Birmingham, Alabama, but it must have been a little bit before this, because Axe was still with Demolition, Bill Eadie, at that time, and but it had the same Dusty Rhodes Randy Savage match, and I tried to look it up and find it in the results, but I didn't have a lot of luck, because I can't really remember for sure when it was, and I just have vague memories of that car, and I'd already graduated high school at that point, so you'd think I'd remember it, but I don't. I remember Dusty Rhodes wrestled Randy Savage. There were several squash matches with people I don't even remember, and I honestly can't remember anybody else was even on the show. But I did, that got me to thinking about some of the other shows I'd went and seen, and I look back, and like in 1985 was the first WWF show I ever saw. It was at the Boutwell Auditorium in Birmingham, where, of course, Continental Southeastern always, that was their main arena, and eventually WWF moved to across the street to the Birmingham Jefferson Civic Center, which is the big arena in Birmingham, about a 17,000 seat arena, I think, so the capacity on it, while Boutwell is, I think Boutwell's capacity is like 5,000, and then they've got a balcony they can open up to get some more people in. And while I'm thinking about that, the Russell Birmingham group that has done a lot of nostalgia shows in the past is going to run another big one at Boutwell Auditorium in November. And I talked to the promoter recently, and she hasn't got any names ready to release yet. Got a good idea of some people that are going to be there. And her shows there have been pretty impressive in the past. So if you're anywhere around the Alabama area, or even, I mean, it's Birmingham's like a 3-hour drive from Atlanta, and about now that they've almost got the new interstate all the way to Birmingham, it's about probably 4 hours from Memphis. So it's a fairly reasonable drive if it ends up being a good card. And I'm going to be working my first show in a long, long time in Mississippi, I think in Batesville in September, and I'll have more information on it. It's going to be another Legends show too, and I think I'm just going to be doing some broadcasting. I'm not really sure. I'm not 100%. I've got an email out to the guy trying to get some more information, but a couple big nostalgia shows here in the Deep South area over the next couple months, and I'll keep you updated on them as we go along. But we'll move on to the next card. I could get stuck on this topic forever. So anyway, this is from Lyle. He says, I love the show and I really like how you can change topics from old school wrestling to graphic novels and comics. Just wondering, now that Lost has finished, I'd love to hear your thoughts on season 6 and the season finale. Your previous show on Lost was great. Yeah, and I've corresponded with Odessa Steps a few times since then, and we talked about doing another show, and I just have failed to get back up with him. And quite honestly, it seemed like after the series finale, just nobody was talking about it anymore. It's like that was completely it. And I think, I'm not sure people know how to take the ending. There's been, of course, a lot of debate. And personally, I loved it. I thought the last season was tremendous. It went exactly the way I wanted it to. Now, Odessa, I think, has a different opinion. He wanted to see it go another direction. And I understand that, and I knew that would happen. There would either be the fans of the show that wanted it to go a spiritual, supernatural direction, or the ones that wanted it to go a sci-fi direction. And I knew they wouldn't be able to please everybody, but they went the direction I wanted it to go instead of the sci-fi direction. But so I understand the mixed emotions on it. Personally, I really liked it. man, I tell you, the first season of that show is maybe one of the best first seasons of any show ever. That's just, I mean, the way that series began and that final episode of the first season and the way it just kept building mystery upon mystery upon mystery was great. I really think Lost should have... There was about at least one season worth of material they could have took out and made it better. The whole going back in time thing, I wish in hindsight they would have left all that out. The whole, you know, atomic bomb resetting everything. I wish all that, the going back to the 70s to the Dharma initiative, in hindsight I wish they would have left all that out. The series really peaked around the time where they finally got into the hatch and found Desmond in there pushing the button, and to me that was the series peaked about right there, because it was just, I mean, it was just so outlandish yet provocative. You know, you got this guy in a hatch pushing a button to keep the world from ending every, you know, so many minutes, and that's just great. But ultimately, I mean, I could see why some people were disappointed with it. I liked it. I'm not just in love with it, but I guess if I had to give it a star rating, 4 3/4, no, I'm not. I'm just joking. I would probably give it 3.5 stars, the final episode. The entire series, I'm giving like 4.5 stars to, but the last episode I give 3.5 stars to. It was satisfying enough, but didn't just completely blow me away. But I liked some of the mythology they did in that last show. But anyway, thanks for the question. Big fan of that show. The next one we got is very, very long. Let's see, and some great stuff here. This is from Eric, and Eric says some real good stuff in this one. Hey, Carl, I got a bunch of questions for you. And I wish I'd hit the right button just then. That really aren't related to one another, but I would like your opinion on them. Okay? The first one is, if WWE would have went through with having Triple H waiting the King of the Ring in 1996, what kind of success would Stone Cold Steve Austin had going a different road, in your opinion? The same question with Triple H, if he would have won the tournament. You know, it's interesting that that really is one of those, in hindsight, major crossroads in wrestling history, far and away. I mean, had Triple H not gotten in trouble for the curtain call at Madison Square Garden, he, by all accounts, was supposed to win that King of the Ring. Because he got it taken away from him, and Steve Austin cut that tremendous Austin 316 promo on Jake Roberts and just exploded after that. Things could have went very, very, very different. Because I think Triple H, had he went there and had he been put over for King of the Ring, wrestling, I don't think, would have ever come as close to peaking to the level it did. I think had he been the one that got the super monster push, they would have been successful. But boy, when they went to war with WCW, I mean, really, of course they were at war at this time, but when it really heated up, you know, that could have changed everything. If WWE could have never regained their footing and you know, went back to winning those ratings, man, things could have totally changed, turned out differently. You know, it's very, very possible, and just suspend disbelief for a minute. You know, it's very, very possible that Triple H winning the 1996 King of the Ring could have killed professional wrestling in the United States. And now it sounds outlandish, but follow this train of thought. And again, you know, I'm not saying this is what would happen, but I'm saying it is a possibility. Triple H wins 1996 King of the Ring. Okay, WWE doing good, not great, but they're doing good. They're still at this point in time trying to figure out exactly what to do with Steve Austin. He cuts this incredible promo. The fans get behind him, start bringing the signs, and that's what really kept amping the character up. Well, so he never cuts that promo. The fans don't. The next night they have this big outpouring of people chanting Austin 316. Okay, so he never cuts that promo. He's super talented, but WWE can't figure out what to do with him because they're now focusing all their creative energies on Triple H. Okay, maybe Steve Austin catches fire again at a certain point, or maybe, like we've seen WWE do so many times, he just is lackluster. He just floats around from gimmick to gimmick, and they never quite hit on what he's supposed to do. So now they're totally behind Triple H. Okay, WCW continues to beat WWE in the ratings. WWE begins really suffering at some point in time, probably later than what happened. WWE is in a real financial bind then. WCW still is going to self-destruct one way or another, whether they keep beating Vince or not. WCW ends up self-destructing because in a vacuum, that company was doomed just because of all the internal politics and all the stupidity involved with the people there. So WWE gets in a financial bind, and WCW self-destructs. All it takes is USA or Spike deciding they're going to go with another program, and Major League Professional Wrestling US is over. Unless somebody came out of the woodworks and put them back on TV. So you can see how with just a little tweaking, just that one thing could have significantly changed wrestling history. And Steve Austin might have caught on after, the next show he might have caught on. We don't know. It's all, a bunch of what ifs. But you can definitely see how that one punishment for Triple H totally could have changed wrestling history. So that's that. The question two: do you think WWE will put TV specials and pay-per-view on iTunes for purchase and downloading like TNA does? Do you think this is a good concept? I think it is an excellent concept. I think it is absolutely where things are going, but we're still a little ahead of the curve right now. At some point in time, like we talked about on the last set of shows, that's where entertainment's headed. On demand to handheld gadgets, iPhones, iPads, Kindles, your Android phone, whatever that is, your laptop. Because I've told you, and it was amazing when I started talking about my kids, my daughter's 18 years old, but I also have a stepdaughter who's 17 going on 18, and the same appears true for her and her friends. They're just not interested in television at all. I mean, they watch very, very little television. They're constantly consumed with their gadget, their iPhone or their laptop, and they're constantly on MySpace or Facebook or whatever, or of course, most of the time, YouTube and things like that on demand. So if they were interested in some particular, and again, I don't know many males that are about that age. I don't have any kids right that age. I don't interact with anybody right that age. But I think it's probably somewhat true to them that they spend far more time on those devices than they do on television. So what's interesting is I think most of your television audience now is skewing older and older, or young kids, and that the key demographic, those 18 to 30 whatever, are, they're living in an on-demand world. That's what they know. They know, I'm thinking about this, I got this on my mind right now, I push a button and there it is. And yeah, we're still a little bit, it's a little bit too soon for that. Still the bulk of WWE and TNA's business and stuff is doing by older people like me and probably you, people that are 35 to 40-ish. We're the people left over from the Monday Night Wars. We are the bulk of the audience. Young people, kids, teenagers are not watching wrestling at all, especially TNA, and they're very, very little watching wrestling. They're all into UFC. I mean, they are the, you know, I do know some, you know, like 10, 11, 12-year-olds, the key demographic that normally that's the age they're really getting into pro wrestling could not care less about it. They're not huge fans of UFC, but if they have a choice, that's what they're going to watch, and they're not interested in wrestling at all. So that key demographic that's out there, you've got to hit them with what, and the older they get, that's what they're going to be looking for this stuff on. So it's one of those things that you've got to do. It's probably not going to be self-sufficient right now, and it's like a lot of stuff. It's like, you know, really anything tech-wise, there's going to be a period of time where you're losing money, there are bugs all in the system and everything else, but you've got to get on board and you've got to build and keep up with the technology as it moves along. You can't get left behind by it or you're going to end up like the newspaper and magazine business and be out of business. You know, where Dave and Brian and even the Pro Wrestling Torch, where they were smart, was realizing this and getting on the internet and taking advantage of the, you know, quote, internet wrestling community, because that's where the fan base went to. If they had, you know, stuck with, well, you know, we do a wrestling newsletter, that's what we do, they would end up like Pro Wrestling Illustrated, and, you know, who, Pro Wrestling Illustrated can't be selling 10,000 magazines a month, or if they even still exist. I don't know who even reads it, but you know, they were at least smart enough to get on there. The wrestling companies need to do that too. Now ROH is, of course, doing the internet pay-per-view stuff. Again, technology's not quite there. We're still in the very early stages of that, but I think it's, if they are financially able to stick around long enough, that's going to pay dividends for them eventually. I mean, the truth of the matter is, Ring of Honor's, in the overall scheme of things, especially scaled to who has national TV and who don't, the Ring of Honor internet pay-per-views are not that far off of TNA's pay-per-views, and TNA is on Spike TV, and Ring of Honor's on a channel nobody gets. So, and yeah, I mean, TNA definitely selling more pay-per-views, but on scale to one another, the gap's closing. And at some point in time, in the not-too-distant future, it would not shock me if ROH catches TNA just by internet pay-per-views. Now, neither one of them are going to be competing with WWE at all. And the pay-per-view industry is another one of those things that it's real interesting where that's headed. But yeah, I think it's something they got to do. They got to get on board. They got to do this stuff. Just like the newsletter industry's got to stay on top of it. And thank goodness Brian is on top of this stuff pretty much now. You know, and you take your jabs at him for the iPhone app and all that stuff. But you know, largely he's not some old fogey. He's at least, you know, young and in knowledge of what's going on in the tech community enough to stay on top of it. And that's what you got to do. You're going to have to stay there. I think I think we really need to get involved more with YouTube. I know they've just started some kind of YouTube channel or something. I don't really know that much about it yet, but that's where they need to aim a lot of stuff, because even, you know, putting like a Brian Vinny show on, not only on MP3, but doing that on video on YouTube, as a subscriber-based service or putting the free shows up on videocast, I think that's where they need to start looking at maybe doing, because I can totally see a year and a half, 2 years from now, you know, me sitting down with an iPad or whatever, you know, the Android version that ends up being, sitting down, you know, wherever I'm at and going, oh, I want to see the Brian and Vinny show and pulling it up right then and watching it. I totally see that happening, so they need to start getting their ducks in a row there. There's more to this email. I'll tell you what, we need to take a break give everybody a break, and my voice is going, so I'm going to take a swig of water and be right back after this.
Video, World War One.
I thought we might get a break here, but he did show back up. As I mentioned, fans, next week I'm going to be visiting with Ric Flair's doctor about his injury, and we'll be filing that report here next week on the program. I'm sure Ric Flair is watching this program right now, Mr. Funk.
Terry Funk, Judge Russell, I am the best in the world. Now, as simple-minded as you are, you might be able to understand this story I am going to tell you. My daddy was a wonderful person, but he understood life more so than the executives of the NWA. You see, when I was a young lad, I had a jackass, and I loved that jackass. But that jackass broke its leg. And when that jackass broke its leg, my father took that jackass and put a gun to that jackass's head and blew that jackass's brains out. I said, Daddy, why did you do that to my jackass? And my daddy said, that jackass has no more place. It's useless. It is no more use to our operation. We can't shoot Ric Flair in the head and blow his brains out, but you, as members of the NWA, can put him out to pasture. Now is the time to put Ric Flair out to pasture. Now I know, I believe that the man wasn't injured. You say he was. Whatever the story might be or the truth might be, let's put him out to pasture and get to the top 10 contenders. Now Rick Steiner is no longer a member. Why can't I take his position because of his injury? Who do I talk to? Who is they? Who runs the NWA? Who makes the top 10 list? Is it you, Ross?
No.
If it's you, Ross,
not me,
I will get down on my knees and I will beg to you, Ross. I will beg to you to put me in that category, because I am the best wrestler in the world today. Why can't you and you people out there realize that, please?
Okay, we're back, and I want to continue up with this email from Eric, and there's one more part of it, and the third question is, if Chris Jericho, Ric Flair, Andre the Giant, Rick Rude, and Kurt Angle had their primes at the same time and had a faction together, what kind of impact would they have? There's sure are a lot of what-ifs in that question. I would say Andre the Giant doesn't fit into that at all. His gig was really something that only worked during that time period, because we see, you know, Big Show, who is actually bigger than Andre was, not having the same kind of historical impact Andre had, because Andre was a product of the times. He would come along at the right time with the right promotion behind him. So it's hard to say that, because You know, you could take Andre the Giant and put him in today's wrestling world, and what you've got is a fat, great Khali. I mean, that's just the fact of the matter. But for the time, Andre was tremendous. Now, Rick Rude, Ric Flair, and Chris Jericho, I think would have fit really, really well into like a stable or something. And maybe even Kurt Angle. I mean, you've kind of got like a, you know, any of those guys in that time period could have been like Four Horsemen material. So Kurt Angle in any era, I think, would have done really, really good. And Rick Rude, I was never as huge on Rick Rude as some people were, but I could certainly see him being more valuable as part of a faction. You know, I thought the Dangerous Alliance in the early days of WCW, or the early days of WCW, the early 90s in WCW, had they had the company more behind them and maybe even been on a bigger platform, and wrestling was so dead at that particular time, had a lot of potential, and Rick Rude, you know, was part of that, along with Paul Heyman and Bobby Eaton and Larry Zbysko and Steve Austin, and I'm sure I'm leaving somebody out, but that stable had all the talent in the world, but they were come along at the wrong time. So I think that's kind of the situation you have there. It says, it's basically about the same thing about that group. So anyway, that's that. We'll go on to the next question, and it is, sorry I cut the name off whoever sent this, so apologize. But anyway, this person said, you're absolutely right about too much wrestling on television. It's hard to keep up with everything, when the shows air, what channel, and what time. Then the shows must keep you entertained. And I'll stop right there and say, yeah, even with TiVo, and I watch everything on, well, TiVo, DVR. I watch everything on DVR. I watch no live television. I don't even know when the shows come on. I DVR all of them. And usually, like I said before, when I sit down, there's a list of a dozen on there. And now I've got to go back and decide, well, what's already dated. And usually half of it's already don't matter no more. It was, you know, the go-home show for a pay-per-view, and now the show right after the pay-per-view's on. Well, it's, you know, obviously that first one's totally dated now. And I'm the world's worst because the Galavision Lucha Libre show comes on like 100 dozen times, and for some reason my DVR catches like every one of them, and it's the same show. I'm the world's worst to have 6 or 8 of them piled up on there and not get to watch through all of them. So, you know, in fact, I think right now I could go in there and pull up the DVR in my living room, and there's probably 3 Lucha Libre shows on there, and I just watched one today. So, you know, it's just too much. You know, there's no impact. If Lost come on every single day of the week, it would have not been nearly as great a show as it was once a week. And you had a week to digest. Well, it's just like TNA. You need time to digest what's happening. When you just keep throwing stuff at you 100 miles an hour, nothing has time to sink in. You don't have time to think about it. I mean, how many times have you took like a favorite show, or even wrestling or non-wrestling related, and you watched it a couple days ago, and you're driving down the road, and you think, huh, well, what about this particular scene, or I wonder where this is going, or something like that. And so you kind of digest it, you know, instead of getting all this thrown at you rapid fire, boom, boom, boom. And the idea, of course, behind that is people nowadays have such short attention spans, and of course, again, it's on an on-demand world. But at the same time, when you're doing serial television that has storylines that have supposed to have continuity to them over an extended period of time, you need time to digest that. You need time to think about it. You know, when back in the heyday of pro wrestling in the 1980s, you know, you had a TV show on Saturday, and you would be thinking all week about, oh, I wonder what's going to happen. You know, how are they going to, you know, how's this guy going to get revenge, or is this guy going to come back, or what's going to happen here? And then the next week you'd come along, you'd have an hour's worth of that television, and then you'd have a week to digest it. Same thing with, you know, Lost. You'd have a week, and with a show as complex as that, you needed a week to kind of think about it for a while. And now with wrestling, it's just like every day something's on, you know, and it just piles up and it loses any, no pun intended, impact it should have had. This email goes on to say, you are also right about the shows being too long in length. Ring of Honor on HDNet is one of the best wrestling shows out there because it is simple. It's simple, an hour long, and gets talent over. Problem is, of course, nobody gets to see it. WWE is well produced, but it is missing many of the things that once made it great. I don't know what they're smoking in TNA, but it must be good to have them that messed up in the head. I agree. TNA is just... And I have long been an advocate of TNA because wrestling needs a second promotion. It really does. Not only for the guys who are going to have jobs that wouldn't... But wrestling fans need an alternative. There needs to be an alternative product out there where if... Because WWE is bland. They've always been bland. It's that Northeast style of Madison Square Garden promotions where it's just bland. Nothing has super impact. And that's good, but it's not all you need. You need something different, okay? You need something that's grittier. And... You know, you just keep habitually hoping TNA will put out. It's the same. It's the WCW syndrome. You know, you kept watching WCW to the bitter end, hoping they would turn it around. And same thing, TNA. You know, I tell you when I gave up on TNA completely, and that was this week when I read, I think it was in this week's Observer, where it was talking about Paul Heyman and Dixie Carter and everything, and Dixie had made this. You know, that Paul Heyman was something about getting rid of Vince Russo, and Dixie Carter said, you know, there's one stipulation, and that stipulation is they can't get rid of Vince Russo. Well, that's when I knew there was absolutely no hope whatsoever, because he is the cancer of all wrestling. He is the reason you can't watch TNA. And when the owner, the money behind the promotion, says, look, we're going to do all kinds of things. We can bring in all kinds of people, from Hulk Hogan to Eric Bischoff to the ECW rejects to Paul Heyman, but you got to keep Vince Russo. I knew right then there was no hope. I now care not to ever watch TNA again because I know I no longer have any hope. I know that it will no longer matter. And that's always been the one thing that kept me hanging on to WCW to the end. And the one thing that's kept me hanging on to TNA was hope that at some point in time there would be a complete change in philosophy and maybe even personnel, and, you know, things would be different. Now that I know that the money behind the company says, no matter what we do, no matter who we bring in, no matter what direction we go, Vince Russo's got to stay. I knew then there was no hope. There is no reason whatsoever for me to invest any more time into TNA. I'm done with them. And so that's that. Done with TNA. And anyway, this goes on to say, I think pro wrestling will stick around in some form, though. Still, it's not promising when the only money WWE can get out of me is a subscription to WWEClassics.com so I can watch old episodes of Superstars, Raw, Wrestling Challenge. The work rate looks older than the shows are, but they remind me of simpler times. He also says the June issue of the Dragon King newsletter was great with good articles, and I really appreciate that. And I'm not sure when the next issue of Dragon King newsletter is going to come out because I'm really concentrating on writing the book right now. But I was sitting around the other day thinking about reviewing some shows for the newsletter, which is, you know, primarily the old wrestling shows, what I review on there. So, you know, who knows? Usually I write the newsletter when the inspiration comes upon me, and who knows when that will be. But sometime soon we'll get another one, but I'm really working on the book right now. So, but I appreciate the kind comments. Thanks. And, yeah, I think that is where WWE, if something good I can really say about them is that they do try to diversify their products. Now, the actual wrestling is bland and it seems like forever the same thing. I am encouraged by the push of Nexus and maybe some different things going there. I mean, I'm encouraged by the fact Triple H is, for the most part of this year, not going to be on television. Undertaker's off for a while. So they're kind of forcibly having to shake a few things up, but it's still largely the same old, same old. But it's, I have to say, it is more entertaining right now and better. But WWE, with their vast video library, has such a diversity of stuff they can show that if Vince McMahon gets this 24-hour channel going, that's going to be a real asset to him, I think. And I think that's the sort of stuff they've got to do. They've got to continue to take all this great history they have and make it available, even though that's not the large percentage of what, you know, their audience is current day people. But so many people, I think, would come back and watch some of the older stuff. Even if they didn't follow it religiously, they would, from time to time, check it out. And I think it's definitely to their benefit. The next one is talking about the iPad, which I've been contemplating getting, and it's from Adam. And I'm still interested in hearing more about the iPad. And I just sit here and mashed the wrong button about 40 times, which I may or may not have done on the iPad. I'm working off a Kindle right now. So, I watched a couple videotapes actually on the iPad tonight, and I'm so still up in the air on it. But anyway, this is a, well, it is what it is. It says, hey, Carl, don't get an iPad. I have one and I love it, but based on how you describe using your computer and your Kindle, the iPad fits right in the middle of the computer Kindle, which is what I thought. Says, and doesn't do laptop stuff better than a laptop. I do use my iPad a lot more than I use my Sony reader, which is the Sony version of the Kindle. I've never even saw one of those, so I can't really review it or anything. It says, I like reading on the iPad better. I know you read outside, and I think in your car, the Kindle is way better in terms of sun glare and that sort of stuff. I don't often use my iPad outside due to the glare. Well, here's the thing that I got to thinking about and the problem I've come up on recently. You got to remember, I don't see the sun very often. I've worked 16 years on night shift. In all likelihood, just based on the structure of our department and who may or may not retire in coming years or move to somewhere else, I foresee being on night shift for the foreseeable future. I actually prefer it. And so I'm sitting outside trying to read the Kindle in the pitch black darkness on my back deck. Usually is the problem. That's a problem that I wouldn't have on the iPad. So that is one of the things I'm thinking about. Whereas, yes, you're right, the Kindle is great out in the sunlight. Problem is, I ain't out in the sunlight very much. It says, one good thing, your Kindle purchases would all be usable on the free Kindle app for iPad. I actually saw a demonstration of that, and I have to say that was pretty encouraging to see. Says, but even with all that coolness, if I were you, I'd wait at least for the next generation of iPad. Then you can decide to buy one of the newer, better ones, and or buy a used one from one of the gotta-have-it people like me. They'll be selling the first-generation models off and they'll pay for the new one. So that's pretty interesting. I'm still really on the fence about the iPad. I like. Would really like to go out tomorrow and buy one, but I just don't see that one thing that pushes me over the edge to it. And again, somebody emailed me because I still, of all the videos I've watched, the emails I've got, still nobody has been able to answer this question. A lot of the stuff I read is stuff I copy off the internet. For example, newsletters and stuff like that. I copy it, I paste it onto a notepad file, which I put on the SD card, which goes in my Kindle. Therefore, I can read whatever I want. I don't have to buy from the Kindle bookstore. I can read whatever I can put on a notepad file on my Kindle. iPad does not have a port for an SD card or, my understanding, any type of external drive. So, how would I go about doing that? Is it possible? Does it have a hard drive? Does it have any internal storage? How do I take Wrestling Observer, copy it, and read it on my iPad? Now, you say, well, just go to the website and read it. Well, what if I'm sitting somewhere, because I ain't buying 3G one that's, you know, got the phone service for like $200 more. I'm getting the Wi-Fi one. So what if I'm sitting in a parking lot somewhere, or, you know, the power's out or whatever the case, but I'm not on a Wi-Fi network. Can I read the Observer, or have I just got a paperweight? Don't say email it through Kindle, because that costs like 15 cents a time to do that, and it's stupid. You know, that's a definite question I got, so if anybody can answer that in the affirmative or the negative, do let me know. Okay, let's try to get a couple more in before we close out this segment, and this is another... about the state of wrestling in the coming years. This is from Eric. And Eric says, you know who I haven't heard from in a long time? Icelander John, who ended up moving to New York. What's become of my Icelandic friend? That's been a point of pride for me to actually had somebody listen to this show in Iceland. So, Icelander John, if you're out there, let me know you're still out there, because that's awesome. That's just great. But anyway, Eric says, not that you're any less awesome, Eric. I'm just saying. To answer your question about where I can see the state of pro wrestling in 27 years, I can see it being dead, if not barely around. I would like to see the business going back to live events and selling those events on iTunes or other such programs as TNA does. There we go again, see? Selling them for a couple dollars... for a couple hours of wrestling, and people can watch it whenever they want to on their iPods. I too am like your daughters and very rarely watch TV anymore, and if I watch anything, it's on YouTube, or if I can get it on my iPod, I would prefer that, because I normally have my iPod on me most of the day. That's exactly what I'm saying. That also brings up another point. iPod Touch versus iPad. I'd be interested in hearing some reviews on that too. So anyway, to summarize, if wrestling's still around, I would love to see the live events be recorded and sold. People could stay up with storylines without the company having to have any TV deals. The only problem I have with that suggestion is, once again, you're putting too much of the same stuff out there. I don't think the problem is not getting to see enough stuff. I think it's too much stuff. Now, what I would like to see is other groups, particularly, especially ones that maybe have the financial power to stick around for a while so you can invest an interest in their company, putting stuff out, some smaller groups, you know, because everybody talks about how awesome Ring of Honor is and Pro Wrestling Guerrilla and whatever that Dragonfly or whatever it is group talks about those. There are a lot of really, really good independent promotions around. They're not all just, you know, backyard wrestlers who rent local gym. There are some good people. I've saw a lot of good ones. But they have zero exposure, none. And I would like to see some of them have some sort of outlet. Now, there's a promotion in Birmingham right now that has a half-hour TV show on one of the major, it's UHF station, if that term's even used anymore, but it's Channel 21 in Birmingham, called GCW, Global Championship Wrestling. I've actually been to one of their shows before. I don't know the promoter. I knew one of the people that was working the shows, the reason I even got in there to that one. They put on a real big show at Boutwell one time, just a five-star show with all kinds of legends and people. But they've got a show every week. But the problem is, and just like Wrestle Birmingham, God love them, I love Wrestle Birmingham, I love the people that run it, but their television show was just awful beyond awful. The in-ring stuff, great. The wrestlers that they had on the show, fine. The production, very good. But the skits and the stupidity was just such a turnoff. Well, GCW is not hardly as bad. Well, they're not even close to as bad as the goofy stuff that Wrestle Birmingham was doing. But it's still, they've got a comedic character on there called El Professor, who is like, I guess, the co-commentator or whatever, and it just makes them look so cheesy. There is actually some good, in fact, former referee Mike Posey, which I'm sure a lot of people remember from TNA, and I think he was with WWE as well. He's a wrestler there, actually one of their title holders. Very good. There's several very good wrestlers down there. There's a guy called Inhuman Fly, who's years ago when I saw him, he was pretty much a spot monkey, but now he's really, he's good. I mean, you watch this guy on TV, and he could work TNA or WWE or whatever. You know, he's not like super blow you out of the water, but he's a good wrestler. He's absolutely perfectly fine. But because of the silliness, it just, why can wrestling not leave the stupidity out of it? I don't mind humor. I don't mind, some levity in there. But why does every promotion have to act like they're stupid? I mean, the general public thinks wrestling's stupid anyway. And we're our own worst enemy most of the time. I mean, they like don't even try. They just get on TV instead of saying, you know, like in the old days, let's suspend disbelief for a while. In this world, yes, the law of physics doesn't exactly apply, and people bounce off ropes for no reason, and punches that don't connect make grown men land on their back. But in this world, suspend disbelief for a while, and we're going to act like it's serious, and you can get involved and invest yourself. Instead, they put it on there, and they act like, yeah, this is stupid. We know it's stupid, so let's just, you know. And I can't get invested in that. I can't follow that. And I don't know when. I do know when. I blame this all on Mick Foley. And The Rock didn't help any. The Rock had the ability and the charisma to pull it off, but I think Mick Foley combined with The Rock made wrestling stupid, because now everybody thinks they got to be a comedian. And they aren't. I really, you know, I hate to say this. I like Mick Foley. I've never actually met Mick Foley in person. Yeah, I did. One time about years ago when he was in WCW. Forgot he was at a show back when he was Cactus Jack. But since he became famous in WWE, Mick Foley has done so much damage to wrestling. God love him. I know he's, you know, cult favorite, and he's done a lot of good stuff, but by him bringing so much comedy and stupidity and silliness into wrestling, everybody thinks they got to be that. And no, just stop. Just put on some good wrestling, for Pete's sake. I mean, how hard is that to understand? Anyway, go on and get back with this email before I completely run out of time in this segment. It says, to summarize, if wrestling's still around, I would love to see the live events be recorded and sold. People would stay up with the storylines, and I've done read that part, sorry. I would like to get your thoughts on this and one of the shows. Do you think people would want to pay and download wrestling on their music devices? Where I think that would come in great is pay-per-views. And not necessarily the night of pay-per-views, but maybe a week later, you put them on iTunes for a discount. Maybe maybe put them up, you know. Now here's what you do. You have your regular pay-per-view on Sunday night for whatever it is now, $50, whatever they're going for nowadays. Of course, the next night you got Raw. You're going to follow it up with that. And so everybody's going to know all the important stuff then and whatever. And I don't know how many replays they sell these pay-per-views, but I imagine it's pretty nominal. So what you do is Wednesday of that week, you put it up on iTunes or whatever service, or your website, whatever, however you want to get it out there, and you sell it $14.99. And I think you're going to make a lot more money that way. I think you're going to get a lot more people to see. In fact, if you know WWE, that might not be as good an idea for, but I'm telling you, TNA, that would be an outstanding idea for them, since nobody's buying their pay-per-views on Sunday. What you do is you wait till the next Friday, the day after Impact, after you put it after whatever the show is. You put it up for, you know, $12.99, $14.99, something like that. I think $19.99 is probably too high. I think you got to go into like the $12-$14 area. And I think you would sell some. I mean, I know there are a few pay-per-views I would probably buy that way if the technology was good, where I could, just like on iTunes, I could, you know, mash the button, it downloads, and I could watch it with relative ease, you know. So I think that, yeah, I think that's a great idea, and we're probably headed towards something like that. I just don't know how far. The final part of this email is different. It says, what's the Macho Man Randy Savage been up to lately, and what's your favorite Macho Man feud and match? Well, of course, he just recently got married. He looks like he's 1,000 years old. Randy Savage, I really enjoyed about his first year in WWF, his Intercontinental title era, where he was in there with like Tito Santana and those people, before he won the world title. I think I really didn't like him much after WrestleMania 4. I think the character got too outrageous. I think it just got... he was really intriguing when he first came in because he was super athletic. You could tell he was a little bit nuts. He was just a lot of intrigue there because, you know, what's this guy capable of? He's very, very good. He's very athletic. He does the jump from the ring post to the floor and stuff that people weren't doing at the time. Remember when he first come in, he wouldn't take his sunglasses off to wrestle. And they made a big deal out of it because, oh, you know, he's going to get hurt. Somebody's going to punch him and break those. But he's so tough and so cool that he doesn't even have to. And he made the jobbers look even more like geeks because he wouldn't even take his sunglasses off. I thought that was really good to begin with. But after a while, it just kind of... there was some great stuff post his... world title win. Of course, there was the match at WrestleMania 3 with Ricky Steamboat, which that was a super great match, but I'm not as high on that match as a lot of people are. You know, a lot of people give that match 5 stars. I'm not big on star ratings, but I would go just a little bit lower than that. And the match wasn't really all that long, and I think they could have tweaked a few things that it would have been even better, but regardless, still a great match. And but I think after a while it just got old. I think the act just got stale, and I'm not sure what he could have done different, but when he got into that whole Macho King era and all that, it just kind of lost me interest wise. So that's that. Alright, we're going to take a break here. This is probably the end of the first show, which is going to be the free show. And I'm going to do another show. This will be another two-show week. Really like doing the two-show deal better, where I can record two shows at one time. Works out better for me, and I can get through a lot more stuff. So if you're listening to this on the free server, well, the next one you're going to have to pay for, go to WrestlingObserver.com. or figure4online.com. Sign up. I mean, for Pete's sake, this show, I totally agree, ain't worth whatever it is they're charging a month. But, my gosh, Wrestling Observer Newsletter, come on. It's worth it for that alone. There are a billion radio shows on this. You know, mine is the least of the bunch. Brian and Vinny's show is worth, in and of itself, the price of the subscription. Then Brian interviews people in Figure Four Daily. Like I said, the Jim Cornette deal was on the other day. They've had Bruno Sammartino on, just had Road Dog Jesse James on the other day. Just a lot of good stuff. Had a can't-miss interview, one of the best interviews I've ever heard in my life, with Buff Bagwell on. Please subscribe to that and just listen to that interview, and then you'll love it. But a lot of good stuff on there. So, and there's a show about Japanese professional wrestling. There are a couple of mixed martial arts audio shows. Then Dave Meltzer and Brian do pay-per-view and Raw reviews. And just, I mean, good Lord, there's just tons of stuff. Too much stuff. Too much stuff. So go on there and review. If you like this show, well, there'll be another one right after it. So come over and take a listen. This is the Carl Stern Classic Wrestling Audio Show from WrestlingObserver.com, Figure4Online.com. Do check out my own website, CarlStern.com, and send me some emails. And we'll be back with another show. Thank you.
Estamos. Bájale, que baje la mano el camarógrafo para saber si estamos en Q. Que baje la mano él.
What have I got to do? Stand out here all night?
Wait a minute. Here you go. Dame Q. Sí. Que baje la mano el camarógrafo para saber. Amigos televidentes, estamos aquí con Terry Fonte, nos sale al aire el programa, ya es domingo. Quiero que sepan que acaba Terry Fonte de pasar a la final, derrotando a Rick Martel, lo que quiere decir que en breves horas se enfrentará a Carlitos Colón. When this program is Terry, it's already Sunday, which means that in a couple of hours, you're going for the finals against Carlos Colón for the Universal title.
In a couple of hours, do you realize the group of people that I had to wade through for this opportunity, this once-in-a-lifetime champ against Carlito Colon? But I have beaten the toughest competition. I have beaten Rick Martel. I have beaten Barry Windham. And now who have I got? I have got Carlito Colon. I said it before, that this island here is nothing more than a giant pig farm. That's right, a pig farm. Nothing but pigs live here. So how could you possibly have a world-class wrestler in Carlos Colon? I'm going to go in there, chew him up, and spit him out, because I am a Texan. I'm meaner than a rattlesnake, tougher than shoe leather, more dangerous than a hollow-eyed scorpion. Middle-aged and crazy, brother. Middle-aged and crazy. And the next, that's right, the next Universal Champion. I will never return to Puerto Rico ever again. How do you like that? Never will I ever return to Puerto Rico, because you people have absolutely not a gut in your body. You're yellow pigs. 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 Yellow pigs. I'm the new champion. I'm the new...
Bueno, amigos, este señor, la verdad, yo no quiero meterme en problemas, yo no soy luchador. Este señor dice que pasó a la final derrotando a los mejores luchadores del mundo. Derrotando a los mejores luchadores del mundo. Dice que va a pasar sobre Carlitos Colón en breves segundos, en breves horas contra Carlitos Colón.
Let me talk to the Puerto Rican people. I want to talk their language. Yes, I know a foreign language. I want to talk to you, Puerto Ricans. Oink, oink. Oink, oink, I'm sure you yellow pigs understand that. And I'm going to show you what a slob, a puke-faced idiot
Bueno, amigos, la verdad que Terry Funk no me deja ni traducir. Will you let me translate to the people? Wow, señores, yo trato de hacer mi trabajo. Este señor falta respeto a uno. Vamos a tratar de traducir lo que él dijo. Que en breves horas él va a pasar sobre Carlitos Colón. Que él pasó sobre Barry Windham. Que él también derrotó. Bueno, dice que derrotó también a Ricky Martel. Y que todos aquí son unos puercos. Y Carlitos es un puerco. Le habló en ese idioma. Perdóneme si no puede traducir mucho. En breves horas irá Carlitos.